For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttlebucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go with the Scuttlebucks. Great to be with you as always. The voice guy introduced us, but I'll do it again in case you skipped over him. That's Tom Lang in there. I'm Jeff. You're you. And we appreciate you listening. The Bucks lose again. What else is new? You know what stinks about this one? Well, lots of problems. Hey, Tennessee Titans. First and 10 on the 10. Our 10. You're welcome. Hey, Tennessee Titans. First and goal on the 6. Our 6. Boy, starting field position makes a difference in the game of football, huh? Just like that, you have situations that can get out of hand and allow a bad team, and that Titans team is bad, to hang around, begin to believe, find a way to beat our bad team. Our bad team should have won this game in the same way that our bad team should have beaten the Giants. It is infinitely frustrating these days, I do know, as a Buccaneers fan, to fully invest, right? Fully invest, whether you're one of those people down there in Tampa right now, buying tickets, season tickets, going to games, tailgating, investing your hard-earned money to walk into Raymond James just to watch that product, or you're like me, from the area, die hard, watching from afar, hoping against hope that this year things will be different. But alas, they are not. Tampa Bay is not going to make the playoffs. I can live with that. I don't like it, but I wasn't so sure they were going to make the playoffs before the season began. That said, I did think they had an outside shot, perhaps an 8-8 campaign, and if the ball bounced the right way, and it most assuredly has not. If the ball bounced the right way, you might go 9-7, find yourself looking at a wild card spot or something like that. And I thought all of that because, well, there's enough of a personnel upgrade overall. I think you just, in terms of what we've seen the last 2 years on defense and offense, to have a little bit of hope, right? Godwin's a nice player, certainly. We thought before the season we would see the emergence of an O.J. Howard. So there's just a couple of guys on offense, right, that you felt pretty good about. You already knew you had Evans. Winston, when he's good, is good. So you thought, oh, okay, there might be something here. All right, you throw in a break. Maybe you get maybe one of these new receivers or something will step in and be decent. Didn't think we'd miss Humphreys as much as we do.
Mm.
Miss that guy a lot because he's where he's supposed to be, Tom Lane.
Yeah, yes, he stands where he's supposed to stand. He runs the routes where he's supposed to run the routes. He keeps his feet in bounds if they need to stay in bounds, which is that's a big part of playing receiver.
Yeah, knowing where you're on the field, having a clue where you are on the football field.
Body awareness.
Yeah.
Route awareness, football IQ, all that stuff. You know, if there was a football House of Congress, I would submit this bill. And this bill would be to be called a coordinator is a privilege. You are not automatically named a coordinator just because you're running the offense or calling the plays or running the defense and calling the plays. It looked like we played Saturday night before playing a game on Sunday morning the way we were prepared in this game. You had miscommunications on offense. It was easy to see on the television broadcast that receivers were not running the same routes as the quarterback was thinking they were going to run. That coverage-wise, on defense, you had miscommunications, guys jumping up and down before the snap, Hargraves before an easy touchdown saying, it's 2-for-3 over here. Yeah. It's 2-for-3. I need a third guy. That kind of thing happened at least 6 times in the first half between the offense and the defense. And that's to say nothing of the cluster, you know what, that this offense was in the fourth quarter. We were not coordinated. No. We were not coordinated on offense and defense, and we had a bye week to prepare for this game.
So the theme of the show today, Tom, on that point, with my opening and your inclusion of shared frustration, is are we appreciably better coached than we were a year ago? Because I don't think so. And here's what I'll tell you. I like Bruce Arians. I like Todd Bowles. I suppose in time, I'm going to like our offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Byron Leftwich.
I get pissed just saying his name right now.
I didn't want to.
So, felt
I had to.
In time, I do like Byron Leftwich. I like the person Byron Leftwich a lot, but that's neither here nor there.
I hate the coordinator. He sucks.
The coordinator right now is killing us. Well, he's hurting us. But that falls at the feet of the head coach. Ultimately, everything does. They did look ill-prepared. They did look like a team that is disjointed, convoluted. They have issues now, we hear, in the locker room. Great, great. That was the kind of stuff that was supposed to go away when a man that was acting as your head coach but lacked leadership skills carried the day in Tampa. That's why you made the change. He lost the locker room. He wasn't on the same page with the quarterback. Ultimately, he wasn't on the same page with the ownership group and the GM. And so you had a change, and we all were buoyed by that change, I thought. But when you see these things crop up, you do begin to wonder. They got personnel issues. They've got other issues. But
I think Bowles is more hamstrung than he is incompetent. I think
Todd Bowles has proven himself to be competent. I think Arians is competent. More than competent. He's two-time coach of the year, but whatever reason, the parts, they're not coming together. It's not happening.
And if you want to call it that Leftwich-Arians, the combination of the two, suck, then that's fine. You could do that because, yeah. I mean, Bruce took over the call for the Giants game at the five-yard line, and then I guess they call the exact same bleep and play.
Exact same damn play in short yards. What are we doing?
Bruce said they had a pass option based upon what they were doing. Okay, so the run option was what we were going with. They had nine in the box. I mean, these things are recorded. So you can go back and see what happened if you didn't catch
the people there.
They're all there.
They're all there.
So you're telling me, based upon the coverage, that the run up the middle is the right play in that situation with eight to nine dudes, depending upon where you draw the line on the box near the line of scrimmage?
The oddity was that across the board, every expert that looked at that play said that, in fact, it was the right call to give there. And I have no doubt Jameis can make that read because he does it all the time. But that's just a dumb play call. They submarine it. They knew what was coming. They guessed right. They make the play. Pull that back out, throw to a tight end. But we don't have a reliable tight end these days.
Well, and the problem, no, we don't. And the problem is, too, that everywhere you turn, every time you get something fixed, it's whack-a-mole. There's three more things that come up. So Jameis has this incredible blind spot that is the flats on either side of the offense. If you look at the first drive where we get the PI call, puts us down near the goal line, you think, all right, here we go. Bucks on the board early touchdown. They make a side adjust on the right-hand side. They both mimic the same hand signal, which is like you're revving a motorcycle or whatever.
Yeah, you are on the same page with me. Yes.
It's like halfway between the thriller move and then the revving the motorcycle. And yet they don't run the route that Jameis expects. But the problem is if you look at the top of the screen on that play, they have it schemed. I'm guaranteeing you that the primary on that is on the left side. Because they've got the tight end releasing into the flat. They've got a numbers advantage. They got it blocked up. It's an easy walk and touchdown.
Go ahead.
Well, there's a Ogunbowale play.
Well, he's useless, too.
He is, but on second and goal later in the game, it's the one he bobbles and drops.
Of course.
That ball's got to be out of your hand, my man. Jameis, if you hit him in stride, which is what the best quarterbacks in the league do, it's a walk-in touchdown, but you double pump. I don't know why. I can't figure out why you double pump. Then it's late. Then he's bobbling the ball, and we realize, once again, that how useless he is. But I don't know that that's completely Dari's fault in that play. It's just everywhere you turn. We go jumbo personnel with one receiver. You know how that receiver was? Scotty Miller. Guess what the play call was? Guess what the play call was? I bet you can.
Downtown to Scotty Miller.
It's like a first down play with Peyton Barber in the backfield.
It's absolutely run up the middle up with the Peyton middle Barber. Right there,
if Scotty Miller's the only dude in the field, we're taking a shot down the field with Scotty Miller. I mean, Jesus, guys.
Really predictable stuff. A lot of uncertainty from a lot of guys. Some of whom are competent and you wonder what's going on. This could be growing pains. pains within the offense. Chris Godwin and Jameis Winston were not on the same page in this football game. The coach said afterwards that the interceptions weren't Jameis's fault. I'll trust him on that because I thought those were really interesting-looking throws. They weren't the normal, oh, Jameis, how could you? Oh, Jameis, why are you doing that kind of throws? Those were throws with intention based on the knowledge of this is where you're supposed to be on given the look.
Well, and can we talk about, too, how late third, early fourth quarter, we got a couple of fourth and ones on their side of the football, or their side of the 50, and we're punting? We punt from the 46? The hell are you doing?
Oh, but we also went for one and got it.
We did go
on a sneak, yeah. We got it.
Right.
We got it, yeah.
Continue the lesson into the second half when you can go and win the football game.
So what I would tell you this is that somehow Cameron Brate's not Cameron Brate anymore. Anytime we're running an offense and you see Anthony Eclair out there, that ain't good. And then obviously
the other guy was out there too, 88.
Tanner Hudson.
Yeah, Hudson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. O.J. Howard is, well, he's persona non grata. We have no idea about him. Obviously, Evans was great for much of this game and then, strangely, not thrown to anymore in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's odd. I thought there were moments late in the first all the way through early in the fourth. Jameis played really well, making plays. We got the full Jameis experience in this one, the good, the bad, and everything in between. I mean, when he rolls outside the pocket, that's your ass. It still is. He's still making plays out there.
And Evans down the sideline.
Smart play as a runner. Several times there.
He finally decided to run, too. It was almost like he said, you know, I know what you guys taught me. Screw this. I'm running. I have to run.
And he made plays.
Because we don't get open for large stretches of a game.
It is really weird. We thought we had an abundance of playmakers on this team coming into the year, and we don't. We got two guys.
Two guys.
Mm-hmm. And one of them is not on the same page with the quarterback half the time, and the other one, who is great, is sometimes just nowhere to be found for a long stretch. I don't know. See where we're at here, everybody? See where we're at?
I do. Think about all these things. I mean, you got, before Ryan Jensen hits Jameis in the face mask with a snap.
Which is absurd.
You've got a false start on the entire offensive line. I think they pinned it on Watford. But that's the entire offensive line because you got a snap infraction. So you're telling me two plays in a row the center doesn't know the snap count that early in the game?
In your own territory, so down, you know.
You have missed routes run by the receivers or miscommunications with the quarterback with 12, 13, Scotty Miller in this game. You got problems with the hot reads with O.J. Howard out in London 2 weeks ago.
They don't look well coordinated. They don't look well coached. And that's what we thought we were getting. And I think that's, in summation, the real problem. I mean, we're going to hear from Lee DeKemper in a few minutes. But, you know, this is something that we thought we were bargaining for, right? Okay, disappointment only occurs when expectations aren't met. I didn't expect this team to go 10-6. I didn't think this team was suddenly going to go 11-5, 12-4, and make a playoff run. No, I thought that they would be well coached and they would lose games because they have glaring personnel needs. They have areas of weakness that would be exposed by the better teams in the league, and that's okay. When you're building something and you're building towards something, you can live with that. If all the other stuff is being cleaned up, if the locker room is in order, if you look like you have a cogent game plan and guys are on the same page, and you know what? We're improving here, then okay, I'll live with an 8-8 or a 7-9. But this is beginning to look like a disheveled, convoluted mess yet again.
Well, and look at the New Orleans example, right? That's a game where there's limitations.
You just
see the way that game plays out. You see the trenches. Yeah. You dominate on both sides. You can live with that a little bit.
You're
not happy about it, and given that we squandered an opportunity a couple weeks earlier, it makes it tougher against the Giants. But if you win the games you're supposed to through this point in the season, and the Carolina game, I won't even count that, the second one, because it's a throwout.
But you're supposed to split with them, so that's fine.
Right. So you beat the Giants, and you beat the Titans. These are two, I mean, one's a chip shot, and the other one is you gift them 14 points before we even begin playing ball here. And you get a touchdown call back that is an easy scoop and score. So you're 4-3. You're feeling okay.
You're feeling great about the direction of things.
You're
feeling very good. You're thinking, okay, we're probably going to be 4-4 because we're going to lose to Seattle. But we come home against the Cardinals. You can see it setting up.
Right. But why are we here? Why are we at 2-5 instead of 4-3? Because we're finding ways and inventing new ways to lose games that we didn't even think possible under Cutter. Or it's been a continuation of
It's been a continuation of Undercutter, and that's where I'm most disappointed.
Some of the stuff is brand new, though.
I'm really frustrated. I really like Bruce Arians. I really like Todd Bowles. I thought Keith Armstrong's special teams come in and do a good job. I really felt good about everything.
Well, it's
Byron
amazing.
Byron Leftwich right now is looks like he's learning on the job, and it's frustrating.
Well, and you just wonder. I don't think he's that great at it, and these might be growing pains, and he gets better. But right now, that operation just sucks to high heaven, as you like to say, because I believe that Bruce probably butts in and breaks the flow of things from time to time.
Well, then Bruce needs to just take over and call the game.
It's one or the other.
Well, do it. Just do it.
If you're going to sink or swim, do so either calling the plays or letting him call the plays.
Lita Kipper, Joe Bucks fan, joins us next on the Scuttlebucks.
I'll make you mine.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
So much to discuss, most of it negative yet again regarding Tampa Bay's loss on this past Sunday to Tennessee 27-23 in a game that as you watched it, you thought, well, they should win this game. They're a better football team. That whole first half is really, really a lesson in what can happen when you turn the football over and when you're not efficient in the red zone. And it's just so frustrating. Joining us now to talk about it, Lita Kipper, JoeBucksFan.com, the great website that he runs, joins us every week on the Scuttlebucks. Hello, Lee. How are you, brother?
Jeff, how you doing? And you know what? Frustrating is the perfect word. This team is frustrating. It's frustrating because obviously they're not winning. It's frustrating because you've got garbage on the field, like this Adari character, who has 43% of the snaps. He's on the field. You've got Breshad Perriman, who's worthless. And when you need touchdowns in the fourth quarter, you don't target one of the best wide receivers in the stinking league. And then the second quarter, I think we all saw how Mike Evans took that game over in the second quarter. And why he wasn't targeted is beyond my comprehension. And why they targeted Perriman five times in the fourth quarter is beyond my comprehension. But here we are.
Perriman has a low football IQ. He strikes me, I don't know if he's smart in his day-to-day life, but as a football player, he's a dumbass. And when I watch him, I wonder time and again how it is you can put him on the field. There certainly has to be a greater standard before we let people take the field, because this is a reoccurring issue with some of the better players on the team, too. This is time and again we're watching Jameis have a discussion. This could be growing pains in the new offense, but we're watching Jameis have a discussion, whether it be with Godwin or Evans in various games, where they don't seem to be on the same page. They're not seeing the same things. This isn't just one of these moments where Jameis goes on a rampant turnover spree and you're wondering if he's pressing or just trying to do too much. This is a miscommunication issue the last couple of weeks where guys aren't where he thinks they're going to be, and they're looking back at him and he's looking back at them. And, you know, I know after the game, Arian said Jameis didn't throw a single interception that was his fault in this last game. Well, we could take issue with that or not, but I do know that he and his receivers are not on the same page, and that's not made or relieved in any way easier by the fact that Perriman just isn't a good football player, ought not be on this football team, wouldn't be on a team like the Patriots and others that hold players to a certain standard. And then, you know, like you said, it's a mystery how you go through long stretches of time and you don't target guys that are all pro players. It's really bizarre what's going on with this offense right now.
Yeah, it is bizarre, and I mean, here's another one for you. I do not know what the fascination with Peyton Barber is. Now, against the Titans, I jotted down every one of his runs, and just to double check, I went back to the NFL game book, which anybody can look at, NFL.com, go to the box score of games, and there'll be a link there. It's just a game book. That's the official game book. That's all the stats you could ever think of that the NFL tallies, that every game in the NFL. Barber had 10 runs against the Titans. Five of those runs were on first down. Every one of those runs was between the tackles. And I really hope to ask Byron Leftwich tomorrow, tomorrow being Thursday, when he's available to speak for his media weekly media obligations. I intend to ask Byron Leftwich, sir, do you think you're telegraphing plays by having Peyton Barber run up the middle on first down, half of his carries? I mean, if I can see it, if guys in the bar can see it, You're telling me the other team can't see it? You're telling me guys making six and seven figures, devising defensive game plans, don't know it? I mean, come on. That's playing in the other team's hands.
Well, I find
this whole thing, Football 101.
Lee, I find this whole thing curious because here's the deal. We are getting to a place as a fan base or as analysts, people certainly paid to cover and talk about the games, but also just the fans in general. And I'm friends with obviously a ton of Bucks fans being from down there. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's most bitterly disappointing at this point is we're actually beginning to question whether or not this team is competently coached. And we thought the hiring of Arians and this staff was going to be a boon, was going to be a plus, was something that was going to uplift their ability to win close games, look prepared. Certainly, if they weren't good enough in certain situations because of their personnel, that would be understood, but they'd be put in a position to succeed consistently, that we wouldn't be questioning coaching. And I find myself beginning to question coaching, whether it's end-of-game scenarios, whether it's the proper or improper use of personnel, whether it's long stretches at a time where guys aren't on the same page. What's the mood down there? I'm beginning to wonder if people think that the game has passed Arians by.
Well, I don't know if it passed him by, but I mean, that's an interesting thought. I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know if it's that. I think it's got one of three things. And I'll save the best for last, and it boils it down to the very simplistic notion. First off, you have to wonder if they're identifying talent properly. And we just spoke about Breshad Perriman. You know, what competent coach would have Breshad Perriman on the field as much as he is, targeting him as much as they do? And I think it was the second week of the season the last time he made a play. And especially when you got Mike Evans, when you have Chris Godwin, who's totally blowing up. It makes no sense. So you wonder if they're misidentifying talent. That's one. Number two, pardon the French here, but you wonder if they have just a bunch of dumbasses on the team. You really wonder. I mean, honest to goodness, you wonder. You know, Arians has pretty much said, you know, we practice this and we practice this and we practice this, and we get it right in practice, and we can go out to the game and we screw it up. And so that's also number two. And here's number three, and it boils it down to we can all relate to this. If you're the Glazer family, and you're coughing up, I don't know how many millions of dollars to have the largest coaching staff in the NFL, and Arians sold them on this specifically so we can coach guys up, so we make sure even the bottom rung of every position is coached up right, and this is what you're getting in return? Really?
Well, what do you do? It's perplexing because they don't look like a well-coached team. And I like Bruce Arians. I like Todd Bowles. I do think that Leftwich in time will be good. Is some of this Leftwich growing pains?
I have to think it is. Because, you know, Arians said the other night, he does a weekly interview with Dan Lucas, the Florida State grad, mind mm-hmm. you. You guys might know him. And a proud Florida State grad, I might add.
Good.
And he's the sports anchor of the NBC affiliate in Tampa. And he has a weekly sit-down, exclusive sit-down with Arians each week. And last night when they ran that, and they put the video up on their website, and we always link to it. In that website, Arians admitted, I have veto on every play. So tacitly, he's approving every play. And he says he's got veto power over every play. And he admitted that the fourth and one play, he should have said, no, we're not running it. The fourth and one play, that basically ended their playoff vote.
Well, it's also, you know, not the first time.
Let's run Barber up the middle for a two-yard loss.
Well, out of the shotgun. And, oh, by the way, we've done it. We've done it on multiple occasions. It's not the first time this year that we've run that play. We did it down on the five-yard line earlier this year. Yeah, so, they've made a mockery of end-of-game situations. Hell, they almost lost the Carolina game because of Arian shenanigans on the road earlier this year.
Oh yeah. Well, here's another one for you that involves the Glazer family. I may have mentioned this on your Scuttlebox podcast before. There was a report earlier this season, might have been during training camp, that the Glazer family was a little bit suspicious. You know, they wanted Bruce Arians to run everything, and Arians like, well, I really don't want to do that. You know, I'll oversee everything. Leftwich will be my right hand man. And the Glazers were kind of concerned, are we paying for Bruce Arians and instead getting Byron Leftwich? I think those concerns were very, very valid in hindsight now.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I mean, when you have repeated mistakes and a misuse of personnel, and you have a a two-time coach of the year over there observing this, you do think at some point he would utilize that veto power and say, listen, Byron, let's sit this one out. I'm gonna step in here and we're going to get things back where they need to be, and we'll learn from this and we'll grow. I like Byron Leftwich. I think in time he's going to be just fine. But right now he's making pretty glaring errors, and moreover, this falls at the feet of the head coach, because misuse of personnel is, I mean, that has to be a head coaching issue. In some respects,
it almost looks like Arians is trying to set up his buddies to get future jobs. That's almost what it looks like. Almost. I won't go there yet, but it has that stench. It has that appearance. Here's a good one for you. I'll just throw this out there. Me, personally, one of the attributes of a good coach, you have certain personnel, you have certain talent, and you utilize those talents to the best of your ability. You may have to play them in different spots on the field, in different positions that you may not like, but it will. You can still utilize those skills and those talents. Chris Godwin, I know, has blown up. Arians won Godwin as a slot receiver. That's why they didn't re-sign Adam Humphries. Godwin was quicker than Humphries. Arians won in speed at slot. And you cannot argue with the result. Godwin has absolutely blown up. And that was a bullseye for Arians. He identified that immediately. That was a wise move. But when you're trying to trot out the Scotty Millers of the world, when you're trying to force feed Rashard Perriman, how about biting the bullet, put Godwin out wide, which they've done before, they being Cutter, they've done before with success. Put Godwin out wide, have Brate line up at slot instead of a tight end, have him line up in the slot, and I saw him do that last Sunday. So it's not like they can't do it. I've seen him do it just Sunday. And then, yeah, of course, you have Evans. That's a whole lot better talent and the receiving in the passing game, mm-hmm, than Scotty Miller / Rashard Perriman.
Tom's over here grimacing just thinking about Scotty Miller being on the field.
Is he overmatched? I mean, that's the best way I could describe him. Overmatched.
Yeah, I think so. It's strange. By the way, as an aside, I don't know. I mean, I saw what happened earlier, and I saw what happened after the game, and some of the comments we've seen earlier in the week, I guess. Has the NFL done their typical, we're really sorry about that inadvertent whistle, or the whistle blowing the man down that's clearly fumbled the football? That's a touchdown, Tampa Bay. The Bucs probably go on to win the game. Absolutely got shafted, bent over, screwed by the league. And this is a point of emphasis. The league has told the officials to let the game play.
The whistle, yep.
Yes, what the hell were they doing? And I just don't – I know you can't retroactively go back and say, sorry, Bucs win or whatever. But Jesus, man. I mean, how upset was Arians about this, and what has the league said?
Well, Arians, shortly after we finish this conversation, Arians will speak for the first time for Seattle Week. Mm-hmm. And so we'll know. As far as I know, the NFL hasn't made an official announcement, and generally they do. They'll make an official announcement. Oops, our bad. And, you know, but like you said, what's the recourse? There really is none. So, and I'm also waiting for Arians to announce, or the Bucs to announce, or the NFL to announce that Arians has been fined $5,000 for his comment. And I don't blame him. Everybody, you know, you talk to anybody in the NFL, they don't blame him. And what I found was funny was there's a video out there of Marcus Spears on, what's that, ESPN show?
Stay Get Up.
Dead, I think it's called.
Oh, okay.
And he was backing up Arians, and he called for public trials of referees.
Listen, I get that they have a tough job, but I'm not one that usually goes all in on refs after every freaking game. You could, but I don't. I find it boring. But this, you know, could have cost you the game. And in many ways, it cost you the game, and it's a point of emphasis rule. I don't – that's just – mesmerizing.
Well, not just cost the game, Jeff, as you well know. That's probably the season. They don't have any playoff hopes now, any legitimate hopes.
No.
No prayers. That season's over. And like Arians said, coaches get fired over this. And I thought it was very interesting he brought that up. You know, I like I say, I love Arians for a lot of reasons, one of which is his brutal honesty after a game when the emotions are raw and he has no filter and hasn't had a chance to talk to a public relations professional to do a spin job a day later. And he comes right out and says, coaches get fired for that. General managers get fired for that.
Yeah.
Whoa, where'd that come from?
Well, he's
right.
You
don't think he's thinking that?
Oh, sure.
All right, Lee, I got a question for you. Stay with me to the end of the question. Let me finish. Just get this out. Back to the receivers for just a second.
Okay.
So who is worse at their position? Vernon Hargraves or Justin Watson? Because if Watson can't get run, and Bobo Wilson does, and Scotty Miller does, and Rashard Perriman does, what does that say about that pick and that player?
Well, I can say this about Watson. I don't know if he's a bad player, but I think he's in the doghouse, and this is why. In training camp and preseason, he dropped a lot of passes, And I think he had a catch the second week of the season, third game of the season. Early in the season, he did have a catch, but I think it boils down to Arians doesn't trust him. Now, I talked to Arians about him, about Watson back in underwear football, and he raved about him because this guy can play. And I just think that he's seen Watson drop enough passes in training camp, in preseason, that he's like, whoa, I don't know. I don't know if I want to put this guy on the field. I don't know if I can trust him.
Does he know that
say a lot that he trusts Scotty Miller over Watson.
But does Justin Watson know the difference between the color green and white and where your feet go in order for a catch to be
announced? Yeah, that he does. That he knows. Okay. He knows how to, yeah, he uses that pen degree well in that respect. He can get his feet down. He knows about that.
Man, this is just turning into a circus, and now you're really trying to assess from week to week whether or not you're going to move on from a franchise quarterback potentially or start anew. And I don't know that this game moved the needle either way on Winston. He'll get blamed for all the turnovers. First of all, the snap off of his face when he's not looking is not a Jameis Winston turnover. A lot of publications like to say Winston fumbled the ball. Well, I would call bullshit on that. He didn't fumble the ball. He had a snap go off his face. Secondly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even Matt Millen said it right away. That was Ryan Jensen.
Yeah, and he's right about that. And then secondly, I would say, listen, it's pretty abundantly clear that you have a couple of wrong routes being run here. And I just think that that might be growing pains in this offense because Godwin's really good. And yeah, we really
smart guy,
like
hustle.
Right. And I believe in that guy. And I think the Bucs obviously do too. And they should. But he and Winston were not on the same page in this game regarding those coverages. And listen, Jameis has been prone to turnovers. We're certainly not denying that. But these looked different. I mean, clearly he was throwing a ball to an area that he thought a receiver should be. And it was just bizarre. And you could see them looking at each other just exacerbated. Just sort of this, where are you going, man? That look. Mm-hmm. And to hear what Arians said afterwards, I don't know who's wrong and who's right. I don't know if it was Godwin was right and Winston was wrong. Winston was right and Godwin was wrong. Apparently the head coach is defending the quarterback, but either way, get on the same page already. I mean, these are devastating.
Yeah, you almost wonder if Arians is putting in his offense little by little each week and that maybe he has given these guys too much to chew the last couple weeks. You almost wonder that. I don't know that. I'll have to ask some people. But, Arians said it takes the quarterback at least a half a season to learn to get comfortable with his offense. He said that. So if it takes the quarterback that long, I would have to guess it takes wide receivers a learning period as well.
Well, and I just think that's why you've seen moments where there have been disappearing acts with Evans. You've had miscommunications with Godwin. And, it's incredibly frustrating. Final thing before we go, O.J. Howard status, what the hell's going on with him? Why didn't they trade him?
Well, I know Light doesn't want to trade him. And apparently what happened was Light was open-minded to it, but he wanted a significant ransom for Howard. And I talked to Howard last week. I haven't talked to him this week yet. But I talked to him last week when the story came out that Bill Belichick mm-hmm. was trying to get him, and mm-hmm. Light said no. And you could tell it bothered him a little bit. He likes the area. He likes the team. He wants to stay here. But I know he's frustrated a bit because he's pretty much an afterthought in the offense. He's being held back to block. We've gone over that. And that kind of speaks volumes. If you got a tight end like that and you had him stay back to block more than go out and get passes. There's an underlying story there. It's about the offensive line, you might say. And but anyway, he said, he goes, it doesn't surprise me about Belichick because him and Saban know, they're good friends and they know Howard's skill set. Belichick does that fits that offense. Yeah, they need to use him more. I mean, we spoke about that earlier. You got talent like Brayton Howard. You need to start using those guys instead of getting Perriman on the field, Miller on the field. That's crazy.
Always appreciated, brother. Let's see what becomes of this team as we move along. Sadly, we're in that mode again. All right. Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon. And as always, folks, make sure you go check out JoeBucksFan.com. Talk to you later, Lee.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. Have a good one.
All right. You too, buddy. Oh, man. What to add? Well, we'll come back and wrap it up and add a little bit of something to it when we're done here. It's just so maddening. Misuse of personnel, infighting in the locker room we're reading about now. 2-5. Several games left on the table there that you could have won already at this point. I mean, a chip shot field goal is a win. This game should have – I mean, this one hurt me.
Cut you deep, huh?
Well, we're a lot better than Tennessee. It was obvious.
Yep.
Sure was. The Giants one is the one that broke me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so this one.
Yeah, but we rebounded so nicely after that. You thought, oh, okay, I'll move it along.
But I was numb after London. Even, you know, the bye week didn't do anything to let that subside. Yeah. And the next thing you know, first possession. I mean, you know, 7-0. Like,
it's the Scuttlebucks.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
All right, so up next, obviously, Tampa Bay takes it on down the road because what else is new? It's a road game. Sure, week after week after week, flying to Europe, flying back, flying across the country. Sure thing. Thanks, NFL.
When you consider the turnout of Giants fans earlier this season, I'd say we've played one home game to this point in the season against San Francisco.
Yeah, kind of glad we played them when we did. That team looks ridiculous. Yeah.
They're complete. If Jimmy gets hot, that team is nearly unbeatable.
I thought they needed to go out and get a legit receiver. If they would have done that to go along with you know, what they do on defense and what a play caller Shanahan is.
The way he schemes Kittle open, though, my God.
Oh, jeez. Listen, that guy is a matchup nightmare for every team in the league. Doesn't matter. Everybody knows where the ball's going. They can't cover that dude. Where the hell? We were like, who is this cat?
Well, and it was known preseason, just from a fantasy standpoint.
Sure, you're like, ooh.
It's Kelsey, and it's Ertz, and it's him.
Yeah.
And then it was like, all right, don't even bother.
He is rocking.
You could take a flyer on OJ and feel sorry for people who did that in Tampa.
That'd be me.
Or in Tallahassee.
I took a flyer on OJ. Figure that talent is such that it should emerge now that we have a competent coaching staff. Can't wait.
So did Judge Ito.
Well played. Good job. Levity at the end of a disappointing
week. We need it.
Week. So it's off to Seattle where, oh, sure, the Bucs will win by 2 scores and we'll have to reassess our situation yet again as we come home to Arizona and then fall to the Cardinals inexplicably with 2 missed field goals, 12 penalties, and 4 interceptions.
There's a part of
you
that expects
football.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. It's brutal. Yeah, like I said earlier, we haven't talked Jameis much this podcast because we did so much the previous one. And really, I don't think this game did anything to change anybody's mind one way or the other with Winston. I just say a strip sack when you're putting your arm back to throw a football is not your fault. That's your left tackle not blocking somebody. The snap off your face, what are we doing here? Bad news bears nonsense. That's not his fault. So, really, I think he accounted for 2 turnovers, and one of those is an end-of-the-game situation with 20 seconds left. You got no chance. What are we
doing?
I mean, it really wasn't, to me, a game where you would bring this back up again.
The Godwin one was an anticipatory throw. I don't think it was affected the way Millen said in the broadcast, which was the hand of the defensive lineman had Jameis change his trajectory.
No, I think he's thrown
Godwin
to his spot.
He's thrown to his spot.
Well, he and Godwin, particular in this game, we're not on the same page at any point. They're clearly, and they looked frustrated with each other. Now, I think they have a good relationship. So this is one of those things where you and I get mad at each other, but we love each other, where we're going to have to go talk about this tomorrow or tonight or whatever when we cool down, because we have respect for the other's acumen and everything else. So you'd say, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong, maybe he's wrong, we're going to work this out. So I'm not worried about that. It hurts you in game, man.
Right.
It's
not the same relationship as with Perryman.
Right.
Jameis was ready to impale Perryman.
Well, and so am I, and so are you, and so is everybody watching football. He has no football IQ to speak of. That guy's dumb as a post when it comes to football. I don't know what he is in his everyday life.
No, I mean, listen, the way that Jameis looked at him, it's different than I really have ever seen. Well, he came close with the offensive lineman, the backups that got Griffin hurt a couple of years ago on Hard Knocks, but it wasn't the same. There was more intensity and fury in his eyes. I think that might hint that Brashad doesn't prepare. That's the only way that he outright doesn't respect the dude in the heat of the moment.
I think that's accurate.
At an instant notice.
Seferian Jenkins was not long for this world back in the day.
He didn't make it on the field with Jameis, though.
You remember that, though.
Yeah.
You remember there was a question about his work ethic, mm-hmm. and Winston said it aloud. We were like, oh, that's that. We're done here because that man is going to work. I mean, he is going to work.
The problem is, too, that, you know, this is probably like a two-hour conversation, so I'll try and keep it short. At some point, and I don't know that it's in him DNA-wise for Jameis, Jameis has to be the one who overtakes the conversation.
Yeah, but,
and Dirk said this about him, too. I want him to tell me to go pound sand at some point, and I don't know that that's in his DNA.
I disagree with that.
You don't think so? You think it is?
I think it is. But
where's it been?
He was neutered. This all started at the beginning of the year where they told him, you don't need to be a leader. You should back off. We don't need you to be all things to all people right now. You just concentrate on the football, big dog. I'll take care of the locker room. Yeah. I'll take care of everybody else because you're a little bit too vocal right now. I think you're a little too emotional right now is what's inferred in that statement. So I think what they're saying is, okay, listen, just make sure you learn this offense, which is complicated, right? So learn this offense. Be a leader with your actions, your work ethic. You're always the first guy here. Keep doing that. You know, work hard to get, you know, your level of play at a place where it speaks for itself. And we don't have these conversations anymore. Then, if you want to speak up, or then once you're secure in your knowledge of all this, then feel free. So now to hear this chatter from various players that there's not enough leadership in the locker room, first of all, that falls on Arian's feet again. Secondly, come on, man. You can't have it both ways. You can't tell that guy to cool his jets and then complain that he's not a leader.
Well, but what I'm saying is I've never seen it other than a couple instances here in Tallahassee where he pulls Cam Irving, who's playing for the Chiefs right now on their offensive line due to injury. I really haven't seen too many moments where Jameis pulls people aside and says, get your bleep together. You know, like that kind of moment. Rather, he uplifts. He likes to uplift. But dress down and demand?
Well, I don't know that he feels like he's in a position to do it right now. And frankly, he's probably not. I mean,
he wasn't in Dirk's time either because he had Vince Jackson and DeShaun Jackson.
Well, and you know, Dirk undercut him. So, I mean, you were kind of in a weird situation there. Here, you're fighting to be the franchise quarterback. I don't know that, you know, you got to go out and ball. There's about four quarterbacks in this league that can walk over to anybody on the team and tell them to pound sand if they don't get it together. You know, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady can do it, a few others, but that's about it. Everybody else is worried about their own deal. And I think he falls in the category of I'm worried about my own deal. I mean, can Matt Ryan say anything to anybody right now in Atlanta? I mean, look how bad
he's
playing.
Can he walk over to anybody in Atlanta right now?
I mean,
Shaw went for four bills.
Yes, he did.
God, that got scary on the Vegas side of things.
I know.
What the hell's going on here?
Why are you doing this?
27-20.
Don't you do this to me, Shaw. Yeah, if you can't tell, Tom and I might be sporting guys. 0% financing, that's right. How about a new 2019 Ford Ranger, Bucks fans? 0% financing for 60 months. It's available at Bill Curry Ford, of course. Drive for $22,417 or lease for $329 per month. BillCurryFord.com has all the details, and you'll find all the great fall savings there. Bill Curry Ford is a third-generation family business that has served Tampa for nearly 60 years with outstanding inventory, great prices, and top-notch service and repairs, and now their famous nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. All right, so do we go to 2-6 here after November the 3rd?
Probably. One more note on that 2019 Ford Ranger. That is a 19 that will catch. That is a 19 that will catch, unlike the 19 we watch.
Nicely played.
On Sundays.
That's nicely
played. Probably. I'm a little worried about this. This is a week where I go, ooh, okay.
Are they checked in? Are they?
Right.
Yeah. They care to make a cross-country trip to the Pacific Northwest and take on a quarterback that can buy time?
Because even if they were checked in, this is another cross-country trip.
Well, and even if they were checked in, Seattle's good.
I think our next game after this is in Alaska, followed by one in Hawaii, and then we're doing the China NFL series, and then we'll be back in Tampa by week 16.
Yeah, week 10, week 11, back-to-back, home, Arizona and the Saints. Thanks. Thank goodness we get to play the Saints
again.
It'll be
too late. Too little, too freaking late.
Yeah, buddy. I'm supposed to take my kids to one of these games. I don't know. We may just call it a day. Our thanks to Lita Kemper. Good work out of you, Tom, as always. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Scuttlebucks. And thanks to Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring it. We appreciate everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Go Bucks.